Guten Woche, Guten Woche, wir sind in Chöves Halavavis, Shama Bitochen, Perek Revi.
396
in English, Yoshikoyach. We will start from the paragraph of Vihine. 396, is that what you said in English?
Well, that's at the top of 398.
Top of 398. Vihine. Shall be talking Perigdalid. Perigdalid. Like about a paragraph or two in. It starts Vihine. You see that? I'll find it. Okay, so we introduced the discussion last week, but let's start again from the beginning in order to lead into it properly. We've been learning a lot about how Bitochen works, and now he's going to go and apply it to the various areas of life. I shouldn't just say of life, I guess you'd say of death also, but the various areas where it should be applied. And he breaks it down as follows. Let's see. Vine kol advarim sheboitchim bohem al abayir yisborach, shiva chalok. The areas where Bitochen is relevant can be broken down into seven areas. Really, it's relevant everywhere. What he means to say is that it breaks into seven categories and in terms of the way you apply. Number one is, echad mehem in yonei guf ha'adam bilvad. The things that are personally relevant only to you, meaning life and death, your health, your own immediate sustenance, shelter, clothing, your immediate physical welfare, your immediate physical state. Okay? Hasheni, number two is, your possessions, your parnasa, your money, your property. That's number two. Hashlishi. Number three is, and this, I guess we would call interpersonal, the field of interpersonal matters. Inyane ishta yubanam, your wife, your spouse, your children, kroivav, your relatives, your family situation. Your friends, your enemies, your social standing, he added earlier, all kinds of other interpersonal relationships that you might have with a boss, with employees, etc. So we're going to call this, as a whole, Bitochen as it applies to relationship or to interpersonal issues. That's number three. Number four, then we move into the realm of ruchnius, of mitzvahs. This is interesting. This is going to be a discussion, how we apply Bitochen also when it comes to our mitzvah performance. We'll see what that means and how it applies. But he's breaking that down also. We have the mitzvahs that are completely a personal matter, that don't involve others. Examples that he gave earlier were, okay, that doesn't give the examples. We have examples of bitachon, emunah, tefillah, etc. These things that are just bein odam la'atzmoy. Okay, a relationship with Hakadosh Baruch Hu. That's the epitome of this category, right? V'chamishi choyves ha'ivorim she'tayaltam v'hazakosam is avoy selzulasa. Then there are the types of mitzvahs that involve others. Plenty of such mitzvahs, right? The examples that he gave earlier were tzedakah, chesed, teaching Torah, instructing people, admonishing, mitzvahs that are going to involve other people. Okay, then we have class number six. Hashishi is gemula olam haba asher yeh kefi ha'maaseh. I have bitachon as it applies to olam haba. And Olam Haba, he also divides into two categories. There's bitachon when it comes to the schar that you're going to earn through your masim, through your performance, the schar that you, so to speak, deserve, you've earned. And then there's another realm. Gemula Olam Haba, there's an aspect of Olam Haba, of Gan Eden, Asheyeh mehabireis barach al derech hachesed. There's part of Olam Haba that comes not proportionate to what you earned, not proportionate to what you deserved. This is what Hashem decides to favor to those who are especially close to Him. This is an interesting concept. This is an interesting concept because on the one hand, it's also earned, right? The fact that you made yourself extra close to Hashem. But on the other hand, it's a different system. Right, the way, if we'll just to put it into a very, call it a mundane kind of mashal, is the way Reb Shimshon Pinkus put it is, Avraham Avinu said to Hashem, Hashem tells him at one point, Al tira Avraham schorcha harbe me'oid. You have a lot of schar coming to you. So Avraham Avinu's response to that, that's when he brings up that he wants a child. His response to that is a little shocking. He says, Hashem Aleikim, matitani, v'anoichi hoile chariri. Hashem, what can you possibly give me when I'm childless? And that's a shocking response, because if you know who Hashem is, and He's telling you, Schor chahabi ma'oid, and we're talking about all of eternity, Olam Haba, what does matitani mean? So the Mefarshim talk about that. Ramban talks about it. Reb Shimshon Pinkus said as follows, and this I think just is going to introduce us to this concept. He said there's two kinds of schar. There's schar that this mitzvah earns this type of schar, and this mitzvah earns this type of schar. Avraham Avinu is telling Hashem, I served you very loyally, but I don't want to be an employee who gets a check at the end of the month. That's not the kind of schar I want. The kind of schar I want is the schar of a relationship with you. That, here's how Shimshon Pinkus put it. He said, I can walk into your kitchen and open the fridge and take whatever I want. It's a whole different quality of a relation. Now, whatever he has in the fridge, okay, if we're taking this mashal further, okay, whatever's in the fridge might not be the value of the check, but we're talking about a whole different quality of schar. We're talking about a schar of, you deserve my closeness. You deserve to be part of my intimate circle. It's not a matter of this for this and this for this, and let's add it all up, and here's what you get. So it certainly is something that's earned, but then it goes beyond what's earned. It puts you just into a different place. Once you earn the relationship, then there's going to be so much more going on that is not, well, okay, now that I have a relationship with you, so this earns this and this. No, once there's a relationship, there's a relationship. Once there's that closeness, there's that closeness. But let's see. We'll see that developed further as we go along. So we've seen seven categories, and he's going to now move through them one by one and show how you apply bitachon. So instead of repeating them, let's move ahead and see him take them on one by one. Now, v'kivan shepirashti ha'agdomas asher ba'avuron yitochen ha'bitachon min ha'betach b'elikim yisaleh. Since we've already been discussing the premises of bitachon and how bitachon works, now let's take it and apply it on the ground. What should now follow is peirush ofnei yosha habitachon. How should bitachon be properly applied? Bekol echad me'ashiv advarim, in all of these seven areas. Asher bahem yivtach kol b'teach elikim. He says in each of these seven areas, well, certainly more in the first areas, we're going to discuss how to properly apply bitachon, because these are areas that require bitachon. Everyone is going to have bitachon in these areas. The question is in what? Like, let's say, for example, when it comes to life and death, I shouldn't even say that, but you have people who just don't have any bitachon at all when it comes to matters of health, parnasa. But what he says is, you can have people have bitachon in Hashem in these areas. You can have people who have bitachon in other things in this area. I can have bitachon in my boss. I can have bitachon in insurance. I can have bitachon in a doctor. I can have bitachon in all kinds of other things. So let's see, how do we properly apply bitachon in all of these different areas? So number one is category, the first category. V'oimah b'feilish ha'chelek harishon mehem, to address the first category, v'hu b'inyanei guf ha'adam bilvad, when it comes to your own physical state. That was number one. Isolated, you on your own, life, death, health, sustenance, shelter, before we start talking about anybody else, and also before we start talking about your property in general. We're talking about your immediate physical welfare. Behem, chayav u'moysoi, life and death. Teref mezoinoi, lemichyosoi, your means of sustenance, meaning he's saying the food, the money that you need to live. He's breaking this into two categories. Let's have that clear. Money is not one inclusive category. There is your immediate support. That's one level of your money, what you need to live. And then there's the level of what I have in the bank account besides that, which is category number two. It's a separate area of bitachon. So he's talking about parnasa in terms of what you need to live. Malbushai, in terms of food, clothing, again, in a basic way, dira, shelter, b'riyusoi b'chalyoi, health versus illness, umidaisa, this is also something interesting, your character, your personality, that's another area where different people are handed different things, and it's another area where bitachon comes into play. All of these will have to be discussed properly. Let's see. Now, the afne ayesha v'bitochen alaleikim, b'kol inin mehen, the proper way of applying bitochen in all of these areas is sheyashlish yashlich esnafshei bahem lahalichas hagoizer, you should submit yourself to Hashem's plan, asher goza le'abarei mehen, that Hashem set out for you. And live in the security that Hashem, put your trust in Hashem, that you will get in all of these areas exactly what Hashem planned for you, which is best for you in terms of your life in this world, in terms of your life in the next world. Anything that happens in any of these areas is precisely what you need for your Olam Hazeh welfare and for your Olam Haba welfare, and how they both come together. Even if in the here and now you might feel like, I'd like a different setup in any of these areas, I'd like a different home, I'd like a different parnassah situation, I'd like a different health setup, I'd like a different personality. So with all of these things, realize that Hashem has a broader plan for you, and He is mapping out a very personalized program for you, which is meant to get you to the best possible place you can be. Vishan Hogas Habayre Boy Bikulam Shava. He's basically, if you notice here, he's kind of like touching on the big seven points that we kept on discussing earlier, the seven great premises of bitachon. Maybe we'll run through them again briefly afterwards, but he's kind of touching on them here. Remember that Hashem is the one who is exclusively in control of all these areas. And nobody else can change that. Meaning, nobody else can change it for the good or for the bad. Don't think, if only so-and-so would have helped me out more, he could have, then my situation now would have been better. And also don't think that so-and-so might be messing me up. Also don't think, if I really get an in with so-and-so, everything will be better. It's all coming down to the same point. With all these things, there's a very specific plan, and that plan is best for you. And he says, just as others cannot determine your life or death, again, we're not talking about murderers now. We're talking about in your general social setting, you understand that you're not supposed to be looking around at anybody else for how they can affect my life or death, or your health. Understand that just in the same way, they are not going to affect, they're not going to determine. They're not going to be the causes of your parnasa, you having what you need, your home, your clothing, etc. Okay. Now, let's just briefly review the yesoidus that we know, and that is that hishtablis does come into play, and we're going to be discussing that. But he's laying down, let's go back to the basics of all of these things. Think about that. Life and death. Life and death. Hashem has a clear idea of what and when. And realize that that plan of what and when is precisely tailored for your best interests. See, then if you're living in Olam Hazeh perspective, so what do you mean death is also planned for my best interest? Death is the end of everything, right? No, not so at all. Death is another stage in really beginning your life. Right? Afterwards is really when it all begins. Period until then, I have a brief little preparation period. Ezus Hashem, for each of us, it'll be 150 years. But that's not that long. And it's really just a brief period of setting up life. And then you start life. So therefore, yes, when it comes to life and death, if each person, Hashem has a very specific plan of how it should work, which is, again, a program that is customized for this, getting this person to the best place possible. So it's how long a person should live, when it should end, how it should end. All these are part of Hashem's precise plan for this person's welfare. Okay, and also the next one. Teref mizayna lemichyosoy. Having enough money for food. We're talking on the very basic level. We're not talking about having how much extra money am I going to have? Am I going to have the money I need for my food? Am I going to have the sustenance that I need? This also, Hashem has a very precise plan of when, how much, etc. And realize that that is all very specifically guided. I want to bring out a point just from our own personal experience. When are you going to have your food? Is often a question that today we don't really think of as solemnizing. It's beyond that. Our concerns are beyond that point, and halavai, it should always stay that way because it could be otherwise. But note that even here, it does become lemaisa, very lemaisa in all of our lives, just that because we so don't think of it as like the big picture, we don't necessarily think of it in terms of, oh, this is also something that Hashem is planning exactly for me. The food you're going to have for Shabbos, right? If you couldn't get a hold of exactly what you wanted, here's mamish an area of Hashem is deciding what food you're going to have when. I had a very interesting experience one time, my wife and I think it was before we even had any children, where it was a very strange thing. We were wanting for food, not because we didn't have the money, because we couldn't get it. We were both out with a bad virus, and we were a young couple living in a place we didn't really know anybody around, and the makolet was a block away, 5-6 minute walk. Neither of us could move, right? Why didn't we call a neighbor? Maybe that was part of Hashem's plan, right? Whatever the case is, we were actually hungry. We were okay in here.
Right? You're alive today.
Exactly. But you know what? We missed a meal or two, maybe three. And that's also something to think of, not as a technicality, but this was a precise plan by Hashem. Sometimes food arrives late. Sometimes meals will arrive late. You know what? In another way, that's actually a lot more relevant, probably less to in your experience, but maybe in your in the experience of your husband's brothers, children, or maybe in seminary also. I don't know. I know that sometimes I was in a very big yeshiva, going down to the lunchroom, you weren't sure exactly if you would get in and would you get enough. Sometimes that was also. And there was where I learned I didn't really care too much because in the worst case, there were plenty of eateries in the Dalet Amos around the yeshiva. So that was the stakes, right? The question would I have to go out and spend 20 shekel. That was what we were talking about. But it was then that I actually learned to appreciate what the Mishnah Berurah says. Mishnah Berurah brings, I believe, from the Zohar, before every meal, daven for your meal. That's where the minhag comes from of saying Mizmor LeDavid. Everybody does it in Shalosh Shudos, I presume, but there's actually a minhag, a chashev a minhag of saying it at every suda. It's before the suda. That's the fulfillment of this Zohar's teaching to daven for your food before your meal. So on my way down to the lunchroom, I would say that Mizmor LeSoida, not knowing if my food was going to come from the lunchroom or from the milching place on that side or the fleshing place on that side. Okay. Someone started asking something?
Well, okay, I guess we're going to get to it. But see, in that situation, you've done your nishtadlish. You signed up to yeshiva, and then they're going to give you what they're going to give you. And you could say, well, if they didn't give me food, then I'll just be hungry. But your nishtadlish then is to go to the milchings or go to the fleshing.
So, that's right.
So
we're gonna work nishtadlish into the picture. And it's true. But I will say this. The annoyance at having to schlep out. Yeah, he was not talking about the steak. When he was talking about food, he was talking about it earlier times where the question of food was one of much bigger stakes, right? Baruch Hashem, that's not what we're dealing with now. We're dealing with
rain.
Oh, that's right. It was much more, it could much more affect if you were going to eat for weeks on end and how much you would eat. Right? Baruch Hashem, it's not what we're talking about now. But you know what? On the contrary, to learn to bring bitachon, dive into the small areas, into the so-called small areas of life, is what makes it an exercise that you could be doing all the time. You don't have to wait for the macro situations to come up that now your bitachon is really put to the test. As for the hishtadlis, it's true. It's true. If a person is going to say, I did my hishtadlis by signing up for yeshiva, and that's it, so obviously, yishtadlus is something that requires you to be recalibrating at each step of the way. Is more yishtadlus required of me now? In a situation like that, it's up to you. If you want to wait till supper, that's fine, right? There's no, but the bitachon comes into play in the sense of that itself, the annoyance of having to go out, not wanting to spend the money, etc., etc. That particular aggravation is also something that was specifically designed for you by Hashem. And that's my point. On the contrary, we're not talking about something drastic here. And the same thing comes to the next level. Malbushai, clothing, right? So on the one hand, you can keep well stocked to make sure that you're always well set up. But on the other hand, sometimes you are stuck, you're feeling short, you're not managing to find the right thing, etc. And to realize that in all these things, small as they may seem, or maybe they don't seem that small, but whatever the case is, even if they seem petty, these are all areas where Hashem is saying, yeah, you know what? You desperately need that shirt, right? It's going to take an extra week and a half. Can you accept that as something that I decided for you? Because this is what's good for you now. It's really the challenge here is more turning on our minds to it than the actual challenge of the bitachon itself. It, on the contrary, it's to learn to start applying this concept all over the place. That's what the way the Chazon Ish put it was, he defined the difference between emuna and bitachon. So what's the difference between emuna and bitachon? He said emuna, the way he put it is halacha, bitachon is lemaisa. What does that mean? What that means is as follows. You're sitting down on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and you're learning Hilchos Shabbos. You're learning what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do, how you're supposed to separate the different bones from the fish, or how you're not supposed to separate them, right? So on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's halacha, it's not l'maisa. On Shabbos is when it actually becomes l'maisa. So the Chazon Ish said, Emuna and Bitachon are halacha and lamaisa. Bitachon simply means Emuna applied when it actually moves into real life. Emuna is Hashem is the Melech. Hashem runs the world. Hashem created me. Hashem cares for me. Bitachon is also right now in this situation. Right? That's the lamaisa. Lamaisa. I missed this bus that I desperately needed to make, right? And the realization that once again, Hashem runs the world, Hashem is running it all, and Hashem controls everything, put into Lamaisa. It's all over the place. It's all over the place. So on the contrary, when you can you move Bitachon into all the little situations in life? Like we said before, you're going out to the Makolet, you left a little too late on Friday morning. Sometimes they run out of challahs, right? If you come at 11, past 11:30, they're out of challahs sometimes. And you're going, it's 11:15, you're not sure what you're going to find. Don't just be tense about are you going to find challahs in the Makolet, but realize that here is, once again, this is mamish an area of, I wasn't going to come and argue that, hey, you didn't do your shtablis, you should have gone at 8. Fine. But whatever the case was, let's say shtablis wasn't relevant, okay? Now you're going out, it's 11:15, you're not sure. Am I going to find the challah? Am I only going to find the ones that the pigeons bit from? Or is it not going to be any at all, right? Will I find the pearl barley or only the other kind, etc.? To be able to think in terms of, this is not about life and death. It's not about, it's so-called petty. It's not petty because lemaisa, it's part of your life. And to understand that here also Hashem has a plan for you. To be able to go to the makolet with the mindset of, I don't know if there's going to be challah or not. I don't know if there's going to be challah or not. This is Hashem who made a specific decision for me. And if I walk in and I find that there isn't, I'm going to understand that this was better for my ruchnius to experience right now. There was no chal. But that's the bitachon, is the security that it's not just, am I going to have chal for Shabbos, am I not? It's a security that Hashem decided for your good whether you will find chal in the makolet now or not. So just relax. Okay.
Question? I don't you feel guilty you're not doing enough to shtablis if it doesn't turn out and you want, like,
what's
I
that?
Should have gone earlier. It's my fault. Instead of saying, well, Hashem decided I shouldn't have challah.
So that, the question is, with all these things, as with all his shtablis, it's a question of making reasonable, responsible efforts. If you woke up in the morning and it was 8 in the morning and you said, I should go get challahs now. But you know what? I'd rather just sit and space out, okay? Waste my time, whittle away the time, whatever it is. And you kept on thinking to yourself, I should really get the challahs now. But, whatever. Okay, then yes, you get to the store and there's no more challahs. You say, what's Hashem telling me here? Next week, go at it. That's the message. That's the divine message, right? But if you woke up in the morning, and there was a lot to do for Shabbos, and there was a lot going on in the house, etc. Then, no, it's not, the hishtadlus to get the challahs on time is not necessarily at the top of the list, and that means that if you could leave up to Hashem's decision. And then, in that case, the aggravation of not finding them afterwards, or the wondering whether you will find them or not, does come back into the issue of that, of the bitachon. Okay.
What are you saying? That it depends whether
I would say that with these types of things, don't get too into that. It is not our chiyuv hishtadlus to sit down necessarily. Every person knows themselves. But it isn't necessarily our chiyuv hishtadlus to sit down and say, well, now let me think about all the different goods I'm going to need throughout the week. And let me think whether I'm doing my hishtadlus, my proper hishtadlus toward the seltzer, and toward the soup nuts, and toward the barley, and toward the beans, et cetera, et cetera. That will be overdoing the ishtatlis, right? There's a certain level at which you can figure, I'm going to go to the makolet when I get to the makolet. I'm going to go to the supermarket when I get to the supermarket. We can call that a reasonable ishtadlis. And if week after week you find yourself coming after things are used up, then after a few weeks, it's time to step back for a minute and say, maybe I should schedule my trip to the supermarket differently. But we're not going to place these things at the core of, are you doing your ishtadlis properly or not? There are other things we need to dedicate our energies to. And once there are other things we need to dedicate our energies to, then the small things that do come up and do cause aggravations, we can say, this is what Hashem planned for me. And we don't have to start saying, well, I missed the bus, but had I planned my whole week differently, and maybe that's really the lesson, to always be planning things 3 months in advance, not just the big things, but also the small things. No, that's not what you need to be doing. You need to be living your life reasonably and responsibly. Once you're living your life reasonably and responsibly, then the aggravations that come up, the questionable situations that come up, etc., you can just securely put in the realm of bitachon. Hashem will not have tainus on you for that level of not having done your ishtadlis. Okay. Now the same comes for the same. Okay, I'm not going to get now into, you know, let's just briefly touch on the rest of the list. Soon we'll see him getting into the more fundamental ones. But a home can definitely be a source of happiness or unhappiness, serious reasons for Agmas Nefesh and petty reasons for Agmas Nefesh. And here, once again, the understanding that the home with everything that it entails, yes, are all part of a plan. When you're buying a home, so right, we're going to come back to the question of ishtadlus. When you're buying a home, you want to make reasonable ishtadlus. You don't want to get neurotic about trying to figure out every possible detail that could ever possibly come up. And you don't necessarily want to be looking into the credentials of everybody in the seven buildings around you who you may come into contact with. So don't go crazy with that thought of, well, if I do have aggravations in the home, maybe it was a chisaron in ishtadlus. There are other responsible things you have to do. We know what they are, and you don't have to go overboard with that. You went about finding a home, whether you rented it, whether you bought it, whatever it is, with the proper ishtadlus, you are moving into a package like any other significant area of life. Where are there going to be the upsides and there are going to be the downsides? And here it is important to realize that, yes, whatever aggravations might come along with that package are a part of what Hashem very specifically designed for me. Okay, then we move into health and illness. And this is much more fundamental as far as we're concerned. So we're going to let the Chavis HaVavis develop it himself. So let's see. Now he continues and brings in the ishtadlus piece. He said, we want to remember that in all these areas of life, from life and death itself, to everything that life and death involves, is all part of a very specific personalized plan that Hashem has because of his love for you and his desire to get you to the best place that you can possibly be. Now he says, the im beiru emunasai kinyanai maso gzeres habayis alef. Now, while you understand, while you really appreciate and internalize that all these affairs are subject to Hashem's decisions, mishabchiras habayre lo hi habchira atayva, and that Hashem makes the best decisions for you, at the same time, you do have to go through the natural efforts toward these ends, and to make a sensible decision about the best way to go about these things. And then Hashem will do what he decided. Now let's remember how he laid down the mechanics of this earlier. It's not that the Hishtablis creates the the outcome. Let's say we're talking about, let's use the example of health, just for illustrative purposes. So the way he set it up earlier was that Hashem has a plan for you. He has a plan of what he wants you to get. But part of that plan is how it should get to you. And here, as we discussed earlier, if you remember, Hashem can plan a whole chain effect. Forget health. I mean, don't forget it. It's important. But we'll get back to it. Let's talk again. Let's talk about Parnassa just because it's easier to illustrate and conceptualize. But Hashem has a whole plan of how what should get to you when. And that he plays it out in Olam Hazeh through a chain effect. The chain effect of how you might get a certain job, Hashem might have put that into motion 600 years before you were born. Very complex business, conducting Olam Hazeh. And this might sound out of whack to our ears, but Hashem's capacity is unlimited. And he, from the beginning of time, is busy planning your appearance on the scene. You are one of his foremost agendas in Bias Olam. It's something that every Jewish neshama has to appreciate. Bias Olam, you were one of the foremost agendas. And Europe, how does this work if there are so many millions of others? Because we get overwhelmed by millions. And Hashem, each one is a completely personal, specific focus. And from the time of Adam HaRishon, Hashem has been setting things in place, planning Avraham Avinu's appearance on the scene close to 2,000 years later, and planning Rashi's appearance on the scene another 2,000 years after that, and planning my and your appearance on the scene close to 2,000 years after that. All that is what Hashem is busy manipulating from the beginning of time. So therefore, yes, Shiduchim, when does Hashem start working on your Shiduchim? You don't know exactly, but very likely from 1,200 years before you were born, Hashem made one person move to a different continent because different people had to be in the right place in the right time. And yes, a job. Hashem might be setting in motion a chain of events from the 1600s that's meant to lead you to a certain job at a certain time. That's what Rabbi Avigdor Miller would said. That what's the most ubiquitous letter perhaps in the Torah? Most psukim start with the letter Vav. You even have Sfarim. Sfarim. It starts with a Vav. What do you mean it starts with a Vav? And it's starting in a vacuum. Where does the Vav come in? By Ibim Yachash Verosh, by Ibim Yeshvet HaShoiftim, right? Et cetera, et cetera. Many Sfarim start with a Vav. Not all of them. Many of them. Many parashis in the Torah. Even though there's no apparent continuation of anything else. So Rav Avigdor Miller said that it's bringing out this point. It's meant to show you that whatever happens, right? Megillah, we're showed this whole chain effect, beautiful chain effect that plays out. But we want you to understand that that also is the continuation of a chain effect that Hashem was already setting into motion beforehand. Anything that happened is part of a plan that encompasses all of history. So anything that started is not suddenly starting to happen in a vacuum. It was being built up toward. It was being planned. And when it finally starts sprouting in Olam Hazeh terms, no, it's a continuation of a process. That's the lesson of that Vav that's always repeating itself. And that's also the Malchus Cho Malchus Kol Olamim. Hashem's kingdom is like no other king. And every king is the king over his whatever amount of years, right? But Hashem's kingship, meaning his control of things, is spanning all of history. So there's a chain effect. It's meant to bring you all the different circumstances of your life. But here's an important piece. The important point is to understand that as you get closer to the end of that chain effect, much of that chain effect is not up to you, it's not in your hands. But as you get closer to the end of that chain effect, all of a sudden Hashem says, these last few links I'm leaving to you to fill, and then what I've had funneling down to you for the last 700 years will make it there. Just to give a simple example, like he gave it earlier, Hashem decides whether you should have enough food. Hashem decides whether you should be properly nourished or not. Okay? So now, the person is sitting at the table, the food is in front of him, knife on one side, fork on the other side. He says, okay, there's going to be a test of bitach. If I'm supposed to be nourished, I'm going to sit like this without picking up the fork, and let's see me be nourished from this food. So Hashem says, no. I planned a chain of how it should get to you. The last few chains in the link are, up until the last four links, I'm controlling. The last four links are, A, you going to the store. Okay. B, carrying the bags home. C, cooking the food. I'm going to add a couple of links. Okay. Picking it up and biting it and swallowing it. Those are the last few links in the chain effect that I have planned out. If you decide, I'm not going to bother picking up the food. It's a schlep. If Hashem wants it to get to my mouth, it'll get there anyways. Hashem says, look, I did the first 998 links in the chain. You decided not to cooperate with the last two, so it's going to be stuck there. That's how Hashem set up the system. And therefore, this is where Hishtadlus comes in. Hashem says, I have a whole plan of what I want to get to you. The last couple of links, I want you to cooperate with. Why? We discussed that at length earlier. We're not getting back into that. But this is the reality. Now Hashem says, I leave those links to you. So therefore, yeah, if you're going to decide not to do those last couple of links, it's all, you're doing the links for what? This is what the mindset needs to be. I'm doing those last couple of motions for what? In order for what Hashem already has planned for me from way back, in order for that to reach me. That's why I'm doing those motions. I'm going to apply for a job. Why? Because Hashem has a plan for me. I have to open up the last faucet. I'm doing it in order for Hashem's plan for me to hit me. And this is how it works with all the different areas of life. So therefore, yes, all these things, Hashem has very clear plans. At the same time, he's telling you, you go through your motions in order to let it actually hit you. Then, Be'ezus Hashem, next week, we'll see how he goes and starts applying that in detail to the areas of life, death, health, etc. Gute Woche.
Thank you.
Thank you.